for me, the pathway to abundance is through gratitude, right? It's through like looking for the evidence of what we're grateful for at every moment in our lives. And then the more you look for the evidence of what you have, you're noticing all the abundance that you already have. And it's through connecting to that energy of gratitude that we actually exponentially grow abundance, right? So we start to live in a field of abundance as opposed to like living in this field of lack mentality or like not enoughness.
Welcome to the Raw and Wild Hearts, a place where the raw, the unfiltered, the wild hearts gather to celebrate triumphs and hardships, learn from each other, grow together, and break down a culture rooted in fear. We will talk, we will laugh, and we will lean on each other about everyday life experiences that we could all use a little support through, and then we'll bask in the wild, magical beings that we are. My philosophy is that by embracing the dark, we may just let in the light. I am your host, Lori Rising, healer, educator, writer, adventurer, retreat leader, birth defender, and animal enthusiast and activist, along with my wild heart sidekick kitty, Jesus the Brave. We'd like to invite you to get excited about the Wild Heart Revolution. Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's episode. It's called Acts of Soul Revolution with Emily Perry. Okay, real talk here, y'all. I've been developing a practice of trusting divine timing, and let me tell you, it's not always easy in this fast-paced, immediate gratification culture. I can definitely say it's so much more peaceful and beautiful on this side, but the resistance all around us is where we really have to create a practice for these things daily. So, getting to my point, Emily and I had this conversation probably a month ago, and I had no idea why, but it didn't feel like the time to release it. And so I just trusted that gut instinct. I was even going to release it in a couple weeks, and then I got the direct message to release it now. Oof, do I love these messages and guidance that have become so clear for me nowadays in these new energies. And after editing this convo, I definitely know why. We are about to hit transiting Pluto this month. That's April of 2021. Please check out Molly McCord's podcast on the importance of this because it's big. The last time this happened was during the American Revolution in 1774 to 1777. And this exchange with Emily is all about rocking your soul's purpose here at this time. And it's a perfect pep talk and supportive guide to accompany the big energies of Pluto that are working with us. Oh, do I love this energy with Emily. I first met her as a guest on her podcast called Rock Your Purpose in an episode that was named From Scarcity to Opportunity with Lori Rising. I just loved how synced up we were in such a high frequency, so I immediately asked her to join our Wild Heart Revolution. I'll link that episode below in the show notes if you're digging our vibe as well. So this is one of my quicker episodes, but it is power-packed with so much goodness and soul ascension nuggets. I cannot wait for you to dig in. I'm definitely including a guide to rocking your purpose with Emily in the show notes below that you'll receive when you sign up for my email newsletter, where you will receive a ton of support to living in your beautiful, wild heart. We really dive into dropping into higher consciousness practices, zeroing into your soul's purpose and calling, ways to translate your experience into outer messaging, making the uncomfortable comfortable, and really being the creator of your own soul's revolution. Oh, I love that so much. Settle in for some serious soul support, loves. And if you're new to the Wild Heart Revolution, welcome. I'm so stoked you're here. Let's do this. My mission is to be a bridge between the human experience and our divine souls. We explore this raw and wild human ride together and get right down to our feelers, because let me tell you, we have to feel in order to heal. And when we heal, we drop deeper into our soul's purpose, which of course brings the type of enlightenment a fear culture tends to dim. So let's change the world, yeah? Hit that subscribe button. If you get some support and empowerment here, we would love to receive your star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and even TikTok now. I'm doing a lot of my van build videos there. I have an amazing affirmations recording coming out next month, which is May of 2021, as well as my long-awaited Awaken Your Life Force Pelvic Floor digital course, adapted from my life-changing Awaken Your Life Force retreats, set to come back blazing this coming fall of 2021. If you love this content, extra bonuses, and want to support my work, come on over to my Patreon page. Starting at just $3 a month, that's like 12 quarters a month, you can make a huge difference in creating an even bigger Wild Heart Revolution here. The Patreon page is linked below as well. I appreciate you. I'm grateful for your time and presence and to be with you here at this time for this purpose. And real quick, let's chat about today's sponsor, BetterHelp. That's H-E-L-P. I'm going to be extra real here. Well, let's get real. I'm always real. Am I right? I've been so busy working my face off to get my tiny home on wheels converted so that I can move on to my next phase of rebirth. I dropped off my telehealth therapy, y'all, and ah, my goddess, have I felt it. These past few weeks have been some very deep shadow coming out from the woodwork, and I let the business of life just take me down with that energy. Then I finally remembered that I could make an appointment so easily. Even just the act of getting back on the schedule created a levity I desperately needed. I didn't have to wade through this alone. I love talk therapy and all the somatic modalities so much for that. If you feel like telehealth is the right fit for your mental health at this time, BetterHelp is here for you. It's a professional counseling network in the comfort of your own home, creating accessibility and diversity in their large network of therapists to choose from. It can be more affordable than traditional counseling, and they offer financial aid to those who qualify. You can log in at any time and send your therapist a message. They truly want you to have an easy and supportive experience, so if your therapist isn't a great match, they help you find a better match. There are millions of people accessing BetterHelp as a part of their mental health routine. And as a Wild Heart Warrior, you get 10% off your first month when you go to www.betterhelp.com/raw and wild hearts. The link is always below in the show notes, so come on back if you need to reference it. Okay, on to today's episode. Emily Perry is the host of the Rock Your Purpose podcast and a soul business coach and spiritual teacher creating courses and trainings steeped in embodied energetics, intentional manifestation, and soul-aligned strategy for heart-centered entrepreneurs. Emily's grounded and enthusiastic style gets her audiences inspired and ready to take action. Known for her down-to-earth approach as well as her unique insight and deep truths, Emily takes her decades of experience and study in numerous wisdom traditions and offers accessible and real-world ready insight. Emily's talks, programs, trainings, retreats, live events, and workshops are designed to motivate and inspire real, lasting change in her audience. She is known for helping the audience move through blocks and resistance while embracing their gifts. As a result, they wake up to their best life yet. Please welcome Emily Perry. Hello, Emily. Thank you for joining the Wild Heart Revolution.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
I am so excited for this conversation. Like, personally, I'm excited for this conversation because it's always going to elevate my life by having this exchange. And then my hope is that it goes out into the collective.
Oh, well, I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me. I'm excited too. We always have fun together.
Awesome. So I like to start with a toast or a prayer to the Wild Heart Warriors in our light, especially our dark, and in all of our magic and glory. May we continue to elevate consciousness through honesty, humor, humility, gentle care, soul-wrenching growth, and ownership, and to us and to living a heart-centered life. Cheers.
Oh, I'll have my tea.
Yes. I definitely have got my cacao today. I've been needing that for a while now. So Emily, I feel like this kindred spiritness with you and the fact that I feel like you are an accumulation of a shit ton of life experiences. And that's what you're bringing to the table. That's what you're bringing to the collective. So tell us, how did you drop into this soul's calling where you're supporting people and living a holistically abundant life?
Well, you know, it's always one of those, you know, long journey stories. But I think for me, like I look back and I was always interested in personal development and inquiry when I was like even a teenager. So I grew up in LA and there's something called the Bodhi Tree Bookstore and other new age bookstores, as we might call them. And I hung out. Okay, this is what I did for fun. I mean, I went out with friends and I did all those things, but I hung out at new age bookstores. Like that was my jam. And that's where I discovered Buddhism. That's where I discovered mindfulness. That's where I discovered crystals. That's where I discovered all the things. And so that was sort of the beginning. And I was always interested in this kind of self-inquiry. Fast forward through college, I started meditating in college, sitting Zen, you know, of course, still doing all the things that like a teenage college student would do, right?
Yeah.
But there's always this thread of inquiry that was happening. And on that journey, so because of that, I was going to go to medical school because I was very interested in helping people, in serving people, right? And in the 90s, like that was sort of the framework that I have. It's like, okay, if you want to help people, you become a doctor. I don't know where it came from, but that's what, like, that was sort of like the mainstream way, right? Mm-hmm. So that was sort of where I started getting interested. And soon I was interviewing at med schools and I was realizing I don't like any of these people. Like they weren't very conscious. This is way back before Dr. Andrew Weil really took off, right? There wasn't a sense of consciousness in medicine. So I ended up going to Chinese medicine school. And, you know, in college and in Chinese medicine school, I got into yoga as well. So I got into energy healing. I got into Reiki. I got my license as a acupuncturist and herbalist here in California, which was the most rigorous exam that you could take in the U.S. I started doing Reiki healing. So I got into the energy piece and the personal transformation piece that you could really access through Chinese medicine and in yoga. And so that's sort of how I kind of found my way there. It was kind of a messy, I mean, that doesn't sound messy, but it was definitely like a lot of stumbling around along the way and not knowing if it was really on the right path. But that's sort of where I found myself. And then I felt like Chinese medicine and that framework was so empowering for me because it finally gave me a language for what I was experiencing. It finally gave me a language for the personal transformation that I was interested in and that I was experiencing within myself. And so for me, having that language was just so important. I have, okay, astrology talk real quick.
Absolutely,
I have my Mercury is conjunct with Jupiter in Aquarius, and I have a grand air trine. So that Jupiter and Mercury is in a trine with Saturn and Uranus, which are Saturn's in Gemini, Uranus is in Libra. So I have like this grand air trine. And so communication and speaking and like having a language to explain things has always sort of been important to me. I did a lot of poetry. I was an English minor. I'm into words. So that language piece, I think, is really what came up for me in terms of being able to describe, you know, life experience. And from there, it just has been like a rocket ship.
Yeah. I mean, and describe you, like what your soul's calling is. And you found that language. I found that language my freshman year of college in The Celestine Prophecy. Somehow I came across that book. And read it and it blew. I was like, oh, I've been found. And it changed everything for me. Throughout my life, I just came in knowing about divinity. I came in that frequency where I knew that there was something wrong with this fear culture because I knew how magical we were and how we could create miracles and we could do unbelievable things with our senses. But you know, being in the culture, I just kept getting that programming that kept shutting it down. And then I stumbled upon that book and it was just spirit blowing for me.
It's funny. I never read it. And now, of course, I want to read it. But I mean, of course, I saw it like all the time. And A Course in Miracles, I also saw and I've kind of touched into but never really got into. For me, it was actually Zen and the idea of like presence being this portal to everything. So that sort of, I think I had such a monkey mind, like my mind was so like, wah, 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 such a monkey mind that for me, Zen was really like a great medicine. And then later on, I got into what we call bhakti yoga, which is like chanting and mantra. And that helped me drop into my heart because I'm so cerebral that it was really like more challenging for me to like drop into my body and not just be in like all the mind stuff. But that's funny. And now I have to, of course, go and look at that book because I haven't thought about it for a while. That's amazing.
Yeah. It's funny because I always think about going back and reading it and I just can't. Like, it's like that experience had divine perfection in that moment, but maybe now is your moment to experience it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. It's like that was the portal that you needed at the time. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And just like you, I thought, okay, well, if I want to make money and help people the way that I want to, I've got to go to grad school and I was going to become a psychologist because I wanted to work with adopted kids because I'm adopted. And I was about to get ready to interview and I was like, I don't even feel good in these clothes. Like, this isn't speaking to my soul. And I was like, what am I doing investing the kind of time and money and stress, quite honestly, that I was about to go to graduate school? And I just hardcore pivoted, came out to the Pacific Northwest by myself. And then I ended up in bodywork school where I discovered lots of trauma-informed body work and really getting to those deep layers of the body. And I think because my moon's in Gemini and I have that constant battle going on in my head, right? And so I agree with you in like finding the thing that we can move into embodiment, because that's really where the magic is created.
Oh yeah, for sure. And it's, I mean, for me, it's like, it's all great to have the ideas, but like the embodiment piece is the lived experience. And I was just listening to, oh gosh, I can't remember his name. I was just listening to somebody talking about business today. And he was talking about the difference between knowledge and knowing, you know? And knowledge is the cerebral piece, right? It's like all the things that we learn, like what you go to school for, it's all the knowledge pieces, but the knowing is your lived experience of it. And I think the embodiment is what it's giving you, the lived experience, right? It's giving you that feeling in your body, that inner knowing that you can then share from. That's so much richer, right? Because it's your lived experience as opposed to something you read about. Like, you can read about this in the Celestine Prophecy, whatever. You could read that whole thing and like not get it, you know, not live it, right? So there's that difference between, I think, just the embodiment piece and then something that's not as embodied, right? It's that knowing.
Absolutely. And I think the embodiment is really full force coming online now with all of the astrological shifts and the age of Aquarius starting to come in, and even COVID and everything that we went through personally and collectively there. I feel like, oh, we're kind of like, it's like the universe has been tapping for a while. And now it's like, hey, listen to me. You have to get into your senses. This is where your power and your magic lies. And this is where you find your soul's calling. And I feel like that is your embodiment, is like empowering people in taking various avenues to get to that soul's calling. Would you agree?
Oh, for sure. I mean, my passion has always been, like, when I got into yoga and I discovered this concept of dharma and purpose. And even before that, like in college, I remember talking about purpose and poetry, like, but that was the underlayer. And what I'm really passionate about is helping people like step into their purpose and that pathway of their purpose, and also take action, like take a stand for your purpose and live it, right? Like live your purpose. Because right now more than ever, as you know, like we need people rising up in their purpose and doing the work that they're here to do, shining in the work that they're here to do, so that we can all rise up together. And I was just thinking about this today, like if we're all dimming our lights, nobody wins, right? And the more that people are living in their gift, and the more that people are living in their truth, and the more that people are living in their purpose, then it gives other people permission to do the same thing. So we become these magnets in our lives as we step into our purpose. We're giving everybody in our life permission, like subconscious permission. It might not even be a conversation, but it's subconsciously they're seeing, oh, I can do what I want to do. I can do what I'm called to do. I can help people the way I feel called to help people. It doesn't have to be, you know, front-facing purpose work where it doesn't mean you have to be speaking on a stage and like talking to all these people. It might be doing those small things, making that nonprofit, doing the work on the ground that's really serving a community. So I'm definitely, that's sort of, I mean, Rock My Purpose is like my movement. So I'm really like, I'm into it.
Yeah, totally. Like my movement is the Wild Heart Revolution, you know, living in your heart. And yours is like, I feel like it's a great combo because you're living in your heart and magnifying that soul's purpose, but you're also giving people very tangible and practical steps to making that soul's purpose your holistic life. Like, it can be how you bring in wealth and how you bring in money. It can be your job. It doesn't have to be a hobby, or it doesn't have to be your set aside time for meditation or spiritual practice work. Like, we can actually live in our soul's purpose for our work and be fulfilled every moment that we're doing it, because our soul is singing while we do that and bring in the money and bring in the wealth.
Oh, for sure. And here's the thing about purpose. It's a thread that gets woven into everything in our life. And so, yeah, for some people, it might not show up in their vocation or their career. It might be this thread that gets woven into everything that they do, the way they do laundry, the way they show up for their family. But it can also be that thing that we step into fully, where it becomes something that really leads the way in terms of the way that we show up in the world. So it can be the way that you make money. It can be the way that you serve people. I think I really came into this realization as a yoga teacher and as a yoga teacher trainer, as someone who was making a living teaching meditation, breathwork, yoga, dharma, philosophy, personal transformation, and really looking at that field and being like, there's got to be a way that I can do this and support myself and support other people. Like, it's an energy exchange. And so, yeah, your purpose can be that vehicle from which everything gets to shine in your work. And so I do, you know, a lot of coaching now for people who are in, you know, heart-centered entrepreneurs who have like a soul-centered business that has this deeper thread of purpose that's of service, that is, it's like this thing that's pressed onto their heart that they have to share with the world. And so that's a lot of the work I do now, is like working with people like you, like the people who are listening, who just have this thing that they have to get out into the world because they don't have a choice. It's their dharma, it's their duty, it's their calling, and they want to get it out there and serve more people. And so that's sort of, that's kind of what I do right now with a lot of people.
Well, and you're helping empower them in the path to that, because a lot of times we have that message throughout our lives, but we also have the message of our programming where it's like, oh, that'll never work, or we compare ourselves to others, or we're in judgment and competition, right? And lack of. And so I think you're really helping to shift that mindset as well into, when you get clear and you actually get into a place of deep alignment within yourself, where you get that kind of clarity, you magnetize and attract the path of why you're here. You magnetize that purpose to
for
you,
sure, for sure.
And it happens easier.
For sure. It's definitely one of those things where the, you know, getting super clear is obviously very important, right? And really connecting to that thread of purpose. But then really understanding what your why is behind it, like that really deep why, because as you know, like as you step into your purpose, as you step into this calling, this work that you're meant to do in the world, there's going to be resistance. There's going to be challenges. There's going to be moments where you have like imposter syndrome. There's going to be moments where you're like, who am I to do this? Like, you know, there's going to be moments where you're going to hit roadblocks. And if you don't have that connection to your why, if you haven't dug deep enough yet to really know why you're doing what you're doing, it's really easy to give up. It's really easy to be like, this is for other people. Oh, they know more than me. Oh, they got more degrees than I do. I mean, I have one friend who has like 3 PhDs. I'm like, like, you know, if I compare myself to her, it's like, of course, like I'm never gonna, you know. So there's always gonna be somebody that seems like they have done the things, right? But here's the thing. Your gift, your filter on the world, your particular energy, your particular imprint, that is what's going to also be attracting your community, right? Your soul community to you and to your work. So as you get clear and you really step into your energy and you share through that filter of how you see the world and you're really authentic to you and your truth, it's going to attract those, like what I call soulmate clients, or, you know, your dream clients, to what you do. And so it's this natural sort of magnetism that we start to develop when we start to get really clear and also if you're like an entrepreneur, like I am, like having messaging that's super clear, right? That's like very connected to your energy. So if we are disconnected from our energy, then it's not going to show up in our brand. It's not going to show up in how we show up in the world. And so it's, again, just comes back to those fundamentals of like that clarity and that connection to ourselves and our energy and our why.
I love how you talk to entrepreneurs about getting super clear in their message, because when I started this soul-centered business where I pretty much went through an entire rebirth, left my secure life where I made a good income, I had a home in the city, I traveled, right? I stayed in it because it gave me all these perks, but yet it wasn't what Gay Hendricks calls my zone of genius. It mm-hmm. was my zone of what's the other one that he says?
Excellence.
Yes. And yeah, it was. Yeah. And so when I did that, I don't feel like I was clear in my message. And I feel like it's been a little over a year now and I'm just getting clear in it. And I had to do therapy and we talked about that because I was like, I don't feel like I'm building the way that, you know, I think I should, which this isn't universal divine timing unfolding. This is ego, like want mm-hmm. and desire. Then I realized like, hey, it's okay. I'm actually putting out different feelings and vibes and frequencies. And I'm going to know when it's the right one. I'm going to know in my soul how clear it is. And so sometimes it takes a while to get that clear messaging. But I also think it really helps to have a mentor or a coach or a supporter like you to tell you like, hey, it is really important so that you don't get burnt out and overwhelmed, right?
Oh, for sure. And so there's a translation piece that happens when we talk about like your energy and your experience. And there's this translation that has to happen between that and your messaging, right? And again, if we're not clear on our own energy and our own vision, it's hard to translate it into soul-aligned messaging that really resonates with people. And so resonance happens with our soulmate clients, our dream clients, or like the people that we want to hang out with, the community that we want to build, any kind of movement that you're creating. So this could be for anybody. The resonance happens when your audience sees themselves in the messaging. When they say like, oh, she read my mind. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've gotten DMs when I've posted an Instagram post and someone's like, how did you know? You read my mind. This is exactly what I was feeling. This is exactly what I'm going through. Boom, boom, boom. So many times. And it's because, number one, I've been there so I can speak to it. Number two, it's because I am listening, right? I am listening to what people are saying mm-hmm. that are in the sphere of what of my influence, right? And so creating that resonance, it's using people's words to really showcase like the transformation that you create, right? And so having heartfelt messaging, it's like really speaking to people's like their lived experience, because it comes from that knowing, right? That we just talked about. It's not coming from your knowledge, because you got all the knowledge, you got the 10 tips, you got the whatever. It's coming from your knowing. And when it comes from your knowing, you're speaking their heart language. And when you're speaking their heart language, people raise their hand and they say, that's me. And that's when they start to just follow you like a super fan, right? They can't get enough, because it's like, you know, I have people that binge listen to my podcast. I have people that watch every video, like, and it's a small group, you know, it's just, but they're hardcore, right? Because it's for them. Like, I've been listening, right? And so I think the more that we can actually come from our lived experience and from our knowing and trusting that, number one, but also believing in ourselves enough, right? This is part of it, right? It's like having that self-belief that's so strong and believing so strongly in what you do and what you have to say, that you're willing to say the thing, right? Like, I know you do. I know you say things. You're like, this is it. I'm going to lay it out for you. But like having enough belief in the transformation that you create is, I think, part of it as well. So the more that we can really lean into our own gift and lean into our zone of genius, what happens with a lot of us, and it's happened to me, I mean, many times, where you get caught into your zone of excellence. So like, how many times, like I had a bookkeeping job. Okay. This is after college, after I was going to go to med school and I realized it wasn't for me. So then I was like, okay, I'm going to try to apply to acupuncture schools. And I was in this transition place. And all of a sudden I find myself in this bookkeeping job where I'm like in this office and like, you know, doing bookkeeping for like a $10 million business. And I'm like, how did I get here? How did I get here? Spreadsheets are a zone of excellence for me. Like, I can do this spreadsheet, but it's not. I mean, not even a zone of excellence. I would call that a zone of competence, right?
Yeah.
But it's so easy for us to get caught in those places, you know? And so I know a lot of the work that you do is really connecting people to their hearts and like connecting them to their wild heart, you know, that really wants to just shine in the world. And it's so easy for us to get caught in places of like, I'm comfortable in a spreadsheet. I'm comfortable working in an office. I'm comfortable. It's so easy to stay there.
Right.
It's sort of like that Talking Heads song. You might be too young for this song, but it's like, you know, how did I get here? Like, it's like the song where he's talking about, is this my beautiful wife? Is this my beautiful house? Like, how did I even get here? It's like the days go by, time flies through. We stay in these zones of comfortability. Mm-hmm. We stay in that zone. And as we know, like your growth zone, that place where you are growing and expanding and transforming and really reaching potentiality of who is what's possible for you, that's outside your comfort zone. Like none of that's going to happen in your comfort zone, you know? So a part of the work I do also is pushing people to like gently nudging people to that edge. Yoga, it's part of the philosophy of yoga is that we work the edge of comfortability. There are sutras in the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali that speak directly to this idea of pushing the way we push away experience or the way we cling to experience. Like we're either pushing away discomfort or clinging to comfort. They're directly pointing to this idea that we presence in that place of where it's right on the edge for us, where it's a little sweaty, right? A little nerve wracking, a little bit sweaty. That's where we grow. That's our growth place. And just kind of turning it back to Gay Hendricks, that's what he talks about in The Big Leap, in this idea of upper limits.
Mm-hmm.
And we shift our upper limit of comfortability. We shift our comfort zone by playing the edge, right? By learning tools to be at that edgy place, to expand our upper limit, and then also, you know, take care of ourselves as we start to expand our upper limit. Like a lot of the body work that you've been trained in, a lot of that is a great way to integrate. So as you hit new upper limits and you expand what's possible for you, then it's all about integration, right? Healthy integration, like not drinking the beer, but like healthy, you know, I mean, you and I are kind of holistic people, but I know maybe not everyone is, but having those ways to like, okay, play that edge, expand into that future self. And then how do we maintain that expansion, right? You're getting body work, you're taking those Epsom salt baths, you're integrating, you're doing breath work, you're doing meditation, you're really expanding what's possible for yourself and your energy field so that as you expand into those bigger moments that are edgy and sweaty, you don't like freak out.
Right. You know? I like to call it practicing higher consciousness. Like that's what I'm always like, how are we practicing higher consciousness every day? Because that's the integration. Even if you don't know what you're integrating, you mm-hmm. are integrating as you're doing that, as you're moving into the practice, because we are creatures of habit and we've mm-hmm. been taking on the programming of security and lack, which I think is what keeps us in those lower, you know, staying within our limits or our zone of practicality, because we feel secure, which means that we have less fear. And then there's lack in the world. So there's not enough in the world. So I need to stay here because I have enough here. What I wanted to say is those mindset shifts, we have to stay in our knowingness and our alignment in belief in ourselves while we're battling the mindset programming, because it'll keep creeping in, you know. It'll be like, oh, but there's, you know, there's not enough people, or not enough people are going to find you, or they don't care about your message. You know, you're battling that programming while mm-hmm. you're holding your center and truly madly believing in yourself and believing in divine timing, because our ego will say like, oh, if it hasn't happened by now, it's not going to happen because there's not enough in the world. But sometimes we have to go through those steps before we have the big breakthrough for all that growth and for the discomfort. And the last thing I wanted to say, there were so many nuggets in what you just gave out, is how old do you think I am? I think I'm older than you. I was like, ooh, all right, I'll go and I'll take that young reference there. I still, but that being said, I am young. Words matter. Like, we are all young. And like, I think what's so important is someone was just talking about this in Clubhouse. Age ain't nothing but a number. Like, the healthier we get and the more in line that we get with our higher consciousness, the longer and more vibrant we're going to be in this earth. And like, that's, you know, do you want to be young and in your zone of practicality, or do you want to be in your 50s in your zone of genius, you know, vibrating in a frequency that you've never felt before?
Yeah, for sure. It's all energy, really. How vibrant do you feel? Like, how much life force do you feel like you're embodying? I mean, that's really the heart of it. And what came up for me when you were just talking is, I mean, I think I've even done a video on this where, like, your dream has to be bigger than your doubt.
Yes.
And so you've got to connect to your dream even more deeply. You've got to connect to your why even more deeply. And then as those upper limit stories start to show up, as those like limiting belief stories, like starting to really look at them and be like, is this mine? Is this my story? Or is this something that I've been told my whole life? Is this like a cultural story? So some of our stories that we carry are like from our families of origin. They're from like one sentence that our fifth grade teacher said to us, you know. They're from sometimes our culture. So, you know, wherever you are in the world or on this planet, or even here in the United States, like there's local, you know, there's cultures within the States, obviously, within our like religious backgrounds, within our, maybe our ethnic identity, within like even our identities in terms of like our bodies. And if we identify as, you know, being cisgender or transgender or non-binary, like there's all these different stories that we carry that some of them don't apply to us anymore. And especially as we transform and as we grow and as we expand into our potential, and as we just, you know, live life, we outgrow stories all the time. We outgrow limiting belief stories all the time that have been holding us back. And so the more awareness that we have around that, we can say like, oh, like that's an old story. Or, you know, you can let the story, you know, do its thing, but then start to disconnect from it. And I mean, there's techniques like NLP, there's EFT tapping that we do, and meditation and breath work, honestly, and mantra are some of the most powerful ways to shift upper limit stories and to clear those limiting beliefs. I mean, I have a whole course on it because I'm pretty passionate about it. But as we do that work, then we can really, you know, step more fully into action and actually doing the thing. Because sometimes I feel like we stay in this upper, like this zone of comfortability or this zone of competence, because we're actually afraid of what it's like to be in success, because sometimes we have a lot of stories about that too. And so, you know, here's one of my stories. Okay. So one of my stories was when I was growing up, I grew up in LA, you know, we had some, you know, some money, but like in LA, there's like people with like $50 million homes, you know? And I just remember thinking as a kid, and I came from a pretty liberal area of LA. And I just remember thinking as a kid, well, like, only Republicans have that much money. So therefore, if I ever had that much money, it means I would have to be a Republican, right? And so I'm a very liberal person. So that for me was like, but it was an internal barrier that I didn't even realize I had, that like, if I started accumulating money, if I started having a bank account that was growing, it means I had to go through an identity shift that I didn't want to go through. Therefore, why accumulate the money if I didn't want that identity shift? And so sometimes looking at these limiting beliefs or stories that we have around wealth, around success, what wealth even means to us, what wealth even looks like to us, looking at that, those stories could be the way into our next level of really showing up in who we are. Because they are also working on the subconscious at the same time, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that when we do our higher consciousness practice, it actually gives us a chance to observe the stories. because usually we're so mm-hmm. in them that we don't notice them. We can't witness them. But when we take that intentional time to truly be with ourselves and our senses, not our thinking brain, right? Because our thinking brain is always overriding mm-hmm. everything. So when we can drop into that embodiment mm-hmm. in practicing higher consciousness, we can actually be like, oh, a lot of times we'll have those aha moments. Like for me with wealth, bringing, financial abundance in, I realized I kept equating it with more stress because I'd have to start hiring people. And then I'd have to figure out, it's always for me, paperwork, like business paperwork. You know what I mean? Am I going to withhold taxes for them? Are they going to be an employee you know what I mean? And so that's a story that and mindset that I'm working on right now.
We start future tensing so far out in advance. And it's like, I had this friend. So here's a good example I always use. I had this friend in college who was dating this guy. They went on one date, right? The next day they're talking, they went for a walk, and 4 days later, she didn't even want to talk about the person. And what I realized that she had gone through in those 5 or 6 days, the whole story arc of their relationship, how they got together, how they broke up, how he was just totally just going to cheat on her. And what was the point of even going out with him anyway, if that was what's going to happen, So she totally just blew him off and cut him. So she had kind of projected this whole storyline onto something that hadn't even happened yet. And so I think sometimes with these storylines that we carry, that we project out, it's you start to look at them, you're like, oh wow, I was future tensing years in advance. But that was a storyline I had too. If I had money, it means it's gonna be more work. If I have money, people are gonna be coming to me. I'm trying to get money. If I have money, there's just gonna be so much, so many taxes involved, right?
Yeah.
And it's I'm a bookkeeper, number one. Know how to balance.
When it happens, you figure it out.
Yeah. And you grow into things. The main thing is that we aren't born fully formed. We grow into it just the same way in our business. If you stepped into, I know people who have bought fully formed businesses, right? And took them over, right? Conscious businesses.
Yeah.
And it's it is overwhelming, and a lot of times they don't work.
Yep.
Because that person hasn't had to go from the ground up to build the thing and know how everything works and know when things aren't working, what's not working, and what should be have money spent on it, what should not have money spent on it, right? All of the learning is actually the best part in terms of once you get to those numbers, then it's you can start to see, oh, this is where I need support. This is my zone of genius. So I'm not going to have somebody else do this for me because it's actually a zone of genius for me. For me, for example, one of my zone of geniuses is actually graphic design and translating the energy and my inner experience into a visual vocabulary and also messaging. So branding, the visual messaging and the branding messaging, I do myself because I absolutely, absolutely love it. And it's during that point when I'm doing the branding, when I'm actually doing that translation, I'm actually getting more clarity on my messaging in the process of doing the messaging. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because I have to. I have to get more clarity because I'm doing it. But do I need to be editing my podcast? No. Do I need to be following up on certain kinds of emails? No. So some of the things I automate, some of the things I get help with, but you wouldn't know that if you hadn't grown up in your business. And so if people are feeling like they're in that place where they're still in that kind of beginning place, it's actually really get to know all the pieces. And as you grow, it's you'll start to see, okay, this is where I shine and this is how I attract people. And so I need to be here. But I don't need to be here. And you wouldn't know that unless you actually kind of grow up in your business, so to speak,
I'm so glad you brought that up. The way that you just explained that is perfect. I feel like it's really accessible. This happened to my dad. He had his business was so successful in this rural community, and he handed it off to somebody and they just drove it into the ground, and it makes sense. Mm-hmm. And this is where I mm-hmm. wanted to say a couple of quick things about the divine timing versus ego timing. You know, that's something that we really need to drop into a little bit like deeper. It's a little uncomfortable because we're in an immediate gratification culture. We have fast food, we have heated seats. Somebody else said that, like, we have so many things at our convenience that we just expect things to happen, right? And what I think we're really understanding is abundance isn't just money. Abundance is holistic. It's the experience when you light up from your soul's calling, the money comes in, but it's not just the path to money, right? And then the other thing I wanted to expand on just a little bit what you're saying is I'm now changing my mindset to failure is necessary because it is information and it's knowledge and it's power. Like, it's very empowering for me.
Oh yeah. And knowing, like, having things not work, the more things that don't work, the more, like, you have to have the not things not work to find the things that will work, right? Like, it's part of the thing. So I had a coach once tell me, okay, if you want 40 people in that program, you need to get 40 no's. And as you're getting 40 no's, that means you're also at the same time, you're going to be getting yeses, right? So I was like, okay, like, I'm going to get the no's. I'm going to go for a no. Like, so I'm going to really show up. I'm going to really share. I'm going to really, you know, and if it's not for them, it's not for them. And that would be one of my no's I get to tick off. But it's also like that could be looked at as a failure. But what it actually is like, actually, that's not for them. They're not for me. I'm not for them. And creating programs for me, like, I had a program, the first incarnation of Pathway to Purpose, you know what? Okay. Like, I had a great group of people in there, but they weren't the right people. Mm-hmm. Some of them were, some of them weren't, because my messaging was off. And it was, I didn't realize how much my messaging was off until I ran that program. And I was like, wow, I'm still not translating what this is properly. Right. I'm still not being clear enough. And what I realized was that the way I was sharing about it was just magnetizing the wrong people to me, right? And I would never have known that was what the issue was unless I went through that, you know? So right. I don't feel like there are failures. They're just teaching. There are these teachable moments, right, where you evolve and you get more clear and you teach something. And you're like, okay, this is what it is. Okay, no, this is what it is. Like, it evolves as you teach it and then it starts to solidify into what it is. And that's why even like with my coaching clients, when they run programs, I usually have them run it 3 times at least until they can figure out that, okay, this is what it is. Like, you allow yourself to change it a few times, you know, because it's going to reincarnate quite a bit until you're really clear on exactly what it is. But messaging that speaks, you know, to that energy of what it is, it really comes from some trial and error, right? But also just really being connected to the work. And just to speak to abundance for a moment, there are like other forms of abundance besides financial abundance. I mean, we all love that, but, you know, time freedom is a form of abundance. Health, you know, energy, like having energy is a form of abundance. And for me, the pathway to abundance is through gratitude, right? It's through like looking for the evidence of what we're grateful for at every moment in our lives. And then the more you look for the evidence of what you have, you're noticing all the abundance that you already have. And it's through connecting to that energy of gratitude that we actually exponentially grow abundance, right? So we start to live in a field of abundance as opposed into like living in this field of lack mentality or like not enoughness, right? I feel like you're right. I mean, we live in a culture of not enoughness, and it is rebellious to flip that script and live in a culture of abundance within ourselves, right? That's an act of revolution right there. And so the more that we do that, the more then we start to attract that like experience. I mean, that's a kind of basic law of attraction, right? Where you really sit in that energy of abundance and in your everyday, and you're like, wow, like I have so much chai, you know, like I'm so grateful, you know, like literally that's my morning.
I saw all so your chai on your, yeah, I saw it on your Instagram yeah. stories. Yeah. You do yeah. have a lot.
That's like all I need.
Yeah.
And, I mean, but like when I'm in that energy, but then I'm in that energy and then I go write an email and it's like, you're transmitting the energy of your abundance into everything that you do, when you're in that energy and you take action, aligned action from those places of being ignited, from being in alignment, from doing the conscious work that you're talking about. So like every day, like you were saying, like doing these practices that you do every day, you do them so that number one, when it hits the fan, you have a practice to lean into, right? Yeah. That's going to hold you up in those really challenging moments.
Yes.
Number two, it changes your whole frequency and your whole ecosystem so that you're actually repatterning who you are on a, like a subatomic level when you do those practices every day. And it's from that place when you start to write those emails. It's from that place you design your website. Like that's why I feel like a lot of my web design and like the way my branding has all shifted in the last couple of years is like my energy has like poof, like totally skyrocketed in the last few years, and it's getting translated into everything because I've actually really made that effort to do so. But also it's just what's going to naturally happen. So all those things that you teach people, it's like I think they're essential to really supporting people in showing up and shining in their life and in their purpose.
Yeah. And what if we actually learned when we were kids the reality that there's so much abundance in this world? We hear that there's not enough in the world. So within ourselves, but also without of ourselves, like also in our external environment, it's just really skewed in its distribution. And that's what we need to like bring to the social table, right? But I just, I know we're on a time frame here, so we've got to get going. But yeah. did you happen to bring one of your favorite affirmations at all?
Yes, for sure. Now, this is an affirmation from, I have a magnetic money reset checklist that you can download at emilyperry.com/checklist. And it's got more affirmations in it, but I love working with affirmations and affirmations, like they're kind of already happening within us, right, as we use them. But one of my favorites is, I am a vibrational match for abundance and wealth in all of its forms. So I am a vibrational match. So we start to really think about becoming resonant with abundance in all of its forms. So maybe it is that pot of chai. Maybe it is like paying off that car. Maybe it is like whatever happens to be. But really becoming that energetic match for what we want to create. So that's one of my favorites for sure.
I love that because also we can believe like, oh, abundance is for other people. You know, as we self-sabotage ourselves or have self-deprecation, we don't think that we're worthy of the abundance. So that's how I really felt that as well. So there's like many ways to like integrate this into your system. So thank you for that. I'll have that on the download today for sure. This is going to be a great download. So real quick, we only have like 2 minutes, but let's hit the last question, which is you have a podcast. So who would your dream guest be and why?
I think my dream, I mean, that's such a tough one, but I think right now my dream guest would be Gabby Bernstein, just because when I had kids, and I mean, they're like 16 and 14 now, but when they're really little, I remember Gabby's first books coming out. And I remember finding her on YouTube, like way back when she just started. And so I just would love to have a conversation with her about that journey. And just, I feel like I've got to watch like the whole spectrum of the work that she does and the impact that she has on the world and the way that she's helped people like shift their lives in a lot of ways. So I think that would probably be the one I go with right now.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I'm going to throw out Deepak Chopra because I listen to a lot of his affirmations and I just really enjoy the tone of his voice, the frequency that he puts out, and just really the wordage to me speaks to my soul. And I think that's important. When you find those people that match your frequency and vibration, they really lift you, you know, as a coach, as a mentor, as a supporter. It's just so great to have that spiritual support team.
For sure. And you want to find that vibrational match for sure.
Yeah. Okay. So we've got to go, but go ahead and tell everybody where they can get a hold of you because you have so many programs and you have so much to offer in a really practical way, which I love. So let everybody know where they can get onto the Emily Perry tip.
Oh, well, you can go to emilyperry.com. That's a great place to go. You can go to emilyperry.com/checklist to grab the checklist. And then if you just search for Rock Your Purpose podcast on Spotify or Stitcher, that's a great way to find me. And of course, on my website, you'll see like all the courses and the trainings. And I do have a masterclass coming up. I'm not sure when this goes live, but I have a masterclass all about how I create 10K months in my soul business using energetic principles and mindset shifts and soul aligned strategies. So we do all this without overwhelm and without burnout. So you can just go to emilyperry.com/masterclass and you'll see a place to sign up for that. Though there will be ongoing masterclasses there. So you can just head over there to grab a spot.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Emily. I'm going to include the masterclass probably in the show notes. I was going to do the checklist, but I'll include one of them in the show notes, but it'll get you to Emily's information. This has been so much fun. I could talk to you for hours. Thank you so much for joining us and sharing all of your majesty and mastery with us. Have a beautiful day, Emily.
Great. Thank you so much. It's been great to see you, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Cheers, everyone. Bye.
Cheers. Bye.
And with that, let's normalize the struggles, celebrate the quirks, and lean into the light. From myself and Beezus the Brave, happy Wild Heart Revolution, friends.
Are you there? Hello.
Hello. Okay. Let me turn off my video. But can you hear me okay?
I can hear you okay. And you cut off where you said, here's the thing. Okay. And it was like right at the pivotal moment.
Yeah.